Blog Talk Radio. Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I'd like to welcome you on this beautiful evening of autumn. And we are in a new time change, so I know that it's more relaxing for me when the weather gets dark earlier. So it even gives us a little more flair in taking off our virtual trip to Jamaica. So I ask you now, as I do each week, to just relax in your favorite chair and just pretend or take a trip virtually in your mind to that favorite place that you would hang out when the weather was cool and the trade winds were blowing gently across your face. So we're on the island, and we're going to be having a nice lavish in the backyard. This evening, I'm quite thrilled because for the backyard and the lavish, this is the first time that we're having an Olympian as our guest. We have had several wonderful and distinguished guests in the backyard for a lavish. But this is the very, very first time I'm really honored to have an Olympian who represented Jamaica and also took home a medal. So I am really, really honored and thrilled. And I want to welcome all my guests that might be listening online and those listening on the board. I see that we have quite a few guests calling in, including our guest of honor, which I'll be opening up the mic to in a couple of minutes. But I just wanted to thank everybody for supporting us on this special segment that we have embarked upon, and it's really going quite strong. And we are celebrating Jamaica and Jamaican culture, especially during the 40s, 50s, and early 60s, before we had this very cool technology that we're now using to leave our messages and to, as I call it, leave a piece of history and legacy from the people who lived it. No one has to write about us. We can make our own mark out in the clouds using the wonderful technology that we're exposed to. So with that said, if you are on my list, you will know that I am this evening our guest is Mr. Mal Spence, who is an Olympian and a senior citizen, and he's going to be joining us in a minute to tell us a lot about himself. Growing up in Jamaica, which is what we're doing now, celebrating growing up in Jamaica in the 40s and 50s. So without any further ado, I see that Mr. Spence is on the board and his hands is up, so I'm going to welcome you. Hello, good evening. Is this Mal? You have
Margaret. That is correct, Margaret. How are you?
I am wonderful. And you?
Oh, I'm fine. It's beautiful here in Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, you're Palm Beach. For some reason, I thought you were in Fort Lauderdale or someplace. But Palm Beach is wonderful, I heard. I've never stayed there for any length of time. But are you visiting there now?
Yes, I am actually babysitting my granddaughters. And as
what?
I mentioned perhaps a little earlier with you, my granddaughters are twins, identical twins.
Oh,
they're floating
just like
around
you
listening
and your
to
brother.
Me.
Yes,
my brother at the moment is ill and was unable to make it.
Right, right. But some of our guests that are calling in that may not be on my list may not know that you are an identical twin.
Okay, I will tell them.
Yes, yes, yes.
I am an identical twin, and my brother and I competed in the same events in the Olympic Games, in fact, three Olympic Games, in Melbourne, Australia, 1956. In Rome in 1960 and Tokyo, Japan in 1964.
Great. Now, I want to sort of even take you back further than there because I am, you know, I'm an only child. I don't have a brother or a sister. So I'm so intrigued with you being a identical twin, because I cannot remember in my growing up, I've lived here in the States much longer than I've lived in Jamaica, where I was born and raised. But I don't remember ever meeting an identical twin while I lived there. So I was really intrigued and excited when you mentioned that.
Yes,
and I always wondered, well, I wonder what it is to have a brother or a sister, anyhow, but how it would be to have someone that looks just like you. How could people tell you apart?
Question.
Beg your pardon?
That's a very intriguing question. How do you feel when somebody looks like you? Well, I'll tell you truthfully.
Well, actually,
I don't think he looks like me. I think I'm far better looking. And he'll tell you that too.
Really? So now, if you're identical twins, could people tell you apart? I mean, just an average person. I know your parents perhaps could.
The average person, no.
Ah.
My
so
coaches, when
I
was a young man, had difficulties. When we went to college, my coach also had difficulties. When
Isn't
we went
that...
on track teams, the managers and coaches and athletes also had difficulties.
Interesting.
But surprisingly,
so
we had no difficulty.
Of course not. You know who you were.
They have problems, not us.
Right, right, right. So may I read someplace where you were, your father had a tobacco farm. Could you tell us a little bit about your early childhood?
Okay, fine. I was born in Kingston, well, Lower St. Andrew, Maxfield Avenue to be exact, in Lower St. Andrew, Kingston. And my father was actually what we'd call a tobacconist. He made premium cigars for the industry.
Oh,
when you
wow.
join the trade, you make normal cigars. When you become proficient in the trade, you become an elite maker of cigars. In fact, in those days, surprisingly, elite cigar makers wore a suit to work.
Wow.
Yes. And as I said in my book, my mother had the good pleasure of ironing and washing his suits for him so that he can go to work every morning. He has to be in a suit.
Oh,
it was
so
the
did
order
he
of the
work
day.
In much, what was the name of the place where he
it
made
was
these?
Jamaica Machado Tobacco Company.
Ah, I remember that name very well.
Yes, Machado Tobacco Company.
Yes,
it was
yes,
a large
yes.
company. I think they come out of Cuba. But and of course, you know, Cuba makes some of the best cigars. We grow some of the tobacco in Jamaica, and of course, naturally, we get some of the cigars from some of the tobacco from Cuba. But he was good at the trade, and he was so good at the trade that he became the representative for the workers there, the Machado Tobacco Workers Union.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So all of this was in Kingston?
All of this was in Kingston. My father, actually, the Spence family, actually came from Westmoreland in South Vermont.
Incidentally, that's where my mother was from, too. I think my father was from there, too. Not my father, but my mother and my mother's father.
Yes. Anywhere you hear a Spence, tell him or her that I say they are from Sublimar or from Westmoreland.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
I spent many of summers in Sublimar, many. As a matter of fact, there are several shows about people from Sublimar and that went to Manning's, you remember that.
Yes, oh yes. Quite
so where was your first school in Kingston?
We started, in those days you had the traditional high schools, JC, KC, St. George's, and then you had the technical schools, like Kingston Technical School, Dint Hill Technical School, and places like those. If you cannot get into the traditional high school, for one reason or another, there's an exam, or they don't have space, then you'll have to go to a non-traditional high school, which was just as good, because Jamaica, even back in those days, had some of the greatest teachers.
Amen.
I remember when I was a youngster, and this doesn't happen very often, I remember when I was a little baby boy, before I could write, my teacher used to hold my hand when I was writing and taught me how to write. Today, that doesn't happen. Doesn't happen
today.
You're on your own. And incidentally, it made me a good penman.
Right.
It certainly did. But I enjoyed Jamaica for the time that I stayed there. I came up here perhaps about 25 years ago, but I spent most of my time in Jamaica, trained in Jamaica, competed in Jamaica, and in fact, what a lot of people don't know is that we represented Jamaica abroad without any formal training abroad. We were trained by local coaches, Coach Ted Lamont, who passed away several years ago. So no, it's nothing new where, people are coming out of Jamaica without any formal training from coaches who were living abroad. We came straight from Jamaica and went straight to the Olympic Games.
Now, did your coaches have any exposure to the Olympics prior to coaching you?
No, they didn't.
Isn't that
but
something?
As the old saying goes, it doesn't take a horse to know a good horse race.
Right.
Actually, the coaches at that time were all about discipline. My coach told me, or Ms. Alison, my brother, several times, he would rather take a guy with a lot of discipline and little talent rather than a guy with a lot of talent and no discipline. Because this is what sports is all about. It's all about discipline. Getting up early in the mornings, going to training, don't miss training, and do what you have to do. And that's what makes the athlete.
How did you actually get into sports?
Very interesting question. My headmaster in school heard that we were the swiftest youngsters in school. So they invited another young man who it was purportedly the best guy around the big entire neighborhood in Franklin Town. So one Friday they set up a race in I think it was printing office grounds in Kingston. The poor chap never showed up, but instead they sent someone else, and he was soundly beaten. And after that,
by you and your brother.
Yeah, quite right. First and second. The guy was way behind. So the coach decided that he should send us to a coach, Lamont, who had a club. Not to mention that after the first week, we never went back.
Why?
Because it wasn't in our forte at that time to be track stars. We wanted to have fun like the rest of other youngsters. So what we did, we went for a week or so, and then we quit. When we went back to school, a week after, the coach called us, the headmaster called us into his office, and he asked us whether or not we had gone back to training, and we told him yes.
Oh!
And this, we told him yes, we told him a lie. By this time, the coach was in another room listening, and he called the coach. He said, "Mr. Lamont, the boys told me that you came to training last week. Is that correct?" "No, sir." Of course, you knew in those days we got a thorough caning.
All right.
For our own good.
Yes, yes.
And I could not imagine when I went home to tell my mother, which I couldn't anyway. I wanted to tell her that the coach, you know, gave me a thrashing because I didn't go to training. But guess what?
And lied about it.
Yeah, and lied about it. If I had told her, I'd have got another whipping anyway. So we continued training, under the watchful eyes of Ted Lamont, who has now been deceased. And he took us right to the Olympic Games, got us scholarships to come to the United States, and able to complete our studies.
Interesting, very interesting. Now, how did you have other brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one sister, and I have two other brothers. One much older, he passed away recently, and another who also represented Jamaica in weightlifting.
Oh, so it's a talented family.
Yes, at one time we thought that if we had made a certain team back in the 1950s, it would be the first time that three brothers would have gone to a regional games. But it didn't happen. We were too young, and we didn't make it.
Oh,
but again, after that, we made every Jamaican team for the next 12 years.
Wow, wow. Well, let me tell you one of the reasons, if I may, why I'm so excited about, you know, what Backyard Labrish is trying to accomplish. Because we did not have the kind of, you know, communication tools and recording tools that is available now, like, as you know, Mal, if something happens in the darkest part of the world, I mean the furthest part of the world, if someone has a cell phone, then it's all over the world. So, you know, everything is known if people want to know it. But in our days, only the people who read the newspaper or had access to a radio on the island would know what's going on, and it would only be what would be considered very outstanding news that would get broadcasted. Am I not correct?
Quite correct.
Subsequently, my passion about this whole platform is having people like you and, you know, citizens of Jamaica who grew up during the period we did, because now the kids have access to everything. Nothing will not be known by another generation. But all the information you are giving me, you know, we have two or three historians that are trying to piece together even the period before us, because it's anti-information. So I am really very thrilled, and I am taking a minute to encourage the seniors that are listening, or the people listening who know of seniors who can contribute to this platform, to invite them to come on or send me an email so that they can share their stories, because there's not. I try to find out as much as I can about that period, because I was not really big in sports, and I left Jamaica in 1959, and I must confess that I was not familiar with you and your brother's accomplishment.
Correct.
So I was quite thrilled when one of our fans and past guests, you know, told me about you, and you blessed us with your presence this evening. So I want you to know how much we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much.
The rest of the callers to have an idea of what we're trying to do here in the backyard.
Yes.
Because it's one thing for you, for someone to write about you, but it's so much better to write about yourself, which I know you have done in your book, which we'll get together in a little while. But I wanted to find out just a couple of, you know, I like to put in my little sidebars and ask some questions.
Go ahead.
While you and your brother were growing up and looked alike to the outside world, first of all, did your siblings ever mistake either of you?
Yes and no. My sister, like all women, they have more intuition, it seemed to me, than my sister had no problems with us. My brother, the second oldest brother,
uh-huh,
he had a 50-50 chance.
Did you ever play any tricks on them?
Well, we don't try to do it, but they got caught up into tricks, yes. What we do sometimes is exchange names.
Ah.
And that adds to the confusion.
Right. Now, well, did you try to intentionally do it with, like, your coach or your teacher or anything like that?
No. Here's what happened. I'm going to make this very brief. When we went to the games, they normally give us our per diem, you know, a small amount of money to buy whatever you need to buy while you are at the games. The
right.
coach came to me, or the manager, and he gave me my per diem.
Uh-huh.
I walked around the block and came back, and he gave me another one.
You got it.
So my brother went to him and asked him for his per diem. He said,
uh-huh,
I've already given it to you. I said, no, you didn't. So he called me, and he said, did I give you two per diems? I said, sure. I never refuse anything anybody gives me.
Oh,
well,
my.
The manager was very clever. Here's what he said. He said, okay, because of that, I will not give you guys your per diem unless both of you are present.
I ran.
But I told him that was very unfair. Why should another guy be there when I'm getting my money? But it was just a joke. But,
that is really funny.
He appreciated it. And
you actually had fun with it.
We had lots of fun.
That is great.
Plenty of fun.
That
what we call a singleton, not twins, singletons. They can't have fun as we did. Because they don't
now,
look alike.
Now, did you
ever
find, I've read of stories where twins, I don't necessarily think they might have been identical, but twins experience similar emotions and experiences, even though they may not be in the same location. Has anything like that ever happened to you and your brother?
Yes. We find that every time he got ill, even when we were youngsters, I got ill.
Really?
Now, because he's sick with a very serious illness, I am likely to be ill like that. So that's why I'm taking the greatest precautions that I can in order to avoid that.
Right.
In other
words,
I'm predisposed to the same illness that he has at the present time. But, you know, let me get back to the book here. No advertising. But we wrote something about Christmas time in Jamaica when we were youngsters. And that was totally different from today. Totally different.
Oh, yes.
Christmas
time in Jamaica
was
some
just
of your
kids.
Your Jamaican experience.
Just for kids. It was unadulterated fun. Where we leave our home at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to what we call a Christmas market.
Uh-huh.
And we would buy whatever toys we could with the small amount of money that we had. And even though it was very noisy, but because it was Christmas time, it sounded like sweet music. Because everyone was in a very cheerful, happy mood.
And
we would go home
Christmas
as soon as our money was finished. And or frolic with the other youngsters for an hour or two before we go home. Expose our toys and begin to play with them. But it was really great in those days. Christmas was totally different. Totally different.
Certainly was. And of course, that would take place down King Street, right?
Right in Victoria Market and around Victoria Market.
Yes. I remember it well.
Oh, yes. It was a lot of fun. We look forward to that more than anything else.
Yes.
Christmas morning at the toys, buying your toys, selecting your toys, what you can afford, naturally, was the best thing that ever happened to us. And I think that Jamaicans missed that, because even our adversaries, we became friendly because it was Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good part of what Jamaica was all about at that time.
Right. Now, what part of Kingston did you say you grew up? Franklin Town?
We grew up in Franklin Town and went to Franklin Town Elementary School. Guidance of Vidal Smith, who passed away some years ago. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, were there other participants in the Olympics from Jamaica? First of all, did you and your brother run in the same race? I didn't quite understand that.
That was interesting. We went to college together. We ran in the same Olympic Games together. The only difference is that he graduated with a degree in accounting and finance, and I did biology.
Uh-huh.
But we traveled together for 11 years to all the Olympic Games, all the Pan American Games, all the British West Indies Games, all the games. In fact, we were half of the relay team for over 12 years, half of the Jamaican 4x400 relay team.
Wow. Now, are any of the other people who participated with you in those meets still around, or you're in touch with them?
Well, naturally, since I began writing this book, I've been in touch with, I would say, maybe 200, those who are alive, naturally, maybe about 200 youngsters who were in our time.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's a lot.
Of them passed along. I met one only yesterday that went to elementary school with us when we were 13, 14.
Oh, that is wonderful.
So it gives me the opportunity of going back and, gosh, didn't we sit and talk about old time days?
Yes,
It was so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
When we compared what happened 50 years ago, well, come think about it, 60 years ago when we were 15, to today, totally different. In fact, when I came to this country first, I wanted to teach high school. But when I saw what was happening in high schools, I forgot about it. They weren't serious. They talk back at you. It wasn't very good.
I
opted out of teaching. Because I taught at Calabar High School in Jamaica.
Now.
I'm sorry?
I said even then in the old days, the difference here was obvious to you.
Sure. I when I came here in about 1978, and I took my son to school, it was an elementary school. Well, I had to take him out of that school and send him to a Catholic school.
Uh-huh.
Because it was so different. But in Jamaica, let me get back to Jamaica, our teachers, I would say categorically, even today, are some of the greatest teachers in the world.
Mm.
Why?
Yes.
Because not only because they teach you about the subject at hand, but they teach you about deportment.
Mm-hmm.
They teach you about how to be a man, how to be a person, how to be a whole person, instead of just your classwork. Your teacher had interest not only in your classwork, but in your whole being. And that was great.
Now, may I ask you a question about your parents? How did they feel about having you boys go away to college?
Well, they were happy and unhappy. Thrilled or happy to see that we have gone to do training in an institution of higher learning. and sad to see us leave them where they were. But naturally, it worked out that after we graduated, we went directly back to Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
And then we begin to find.
Now, do you and your brother still, I know that you're better looking. But, I mean, when he was well and up and around, did people see the, I mean, did you, were you able to get away with anything with anybody that, like, you know, people you know?
Well, let me give you one instance, and if I shouldn't, but it's in the book anyway. Mel developed a muscle problem while he was in Rome.
Uh-huh.
And they decided to send him back to Jamaica. And I appealed to them, instead of sending him back, why don't you give him a fair trial? If the leg doesn't hold up, then you send him back to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know what happened? I ran.
No.
Away.
What happened?
And he stayed, and the leg wasn't that back. He continued to run after the track meet and did pretty well until we returned to college. From that standpoint, but we had fun, clean fun.
Right, right.
I think it was.
No. Did you marry sisters?
No, we didn't. My brother.
That's a joke.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. My brother married to a, in fact, his high school sweetheart, and I married also to my high school sweetheart.
And these are Jamaican ladies?
Yes, Jamaican, yes. I have been married for 52 years now.
Oh,
and my brother for 47 years.
Yes. And tell me about your family and Mel's family.
Okay. Mel has one son who is married and now lives in Jamaica. I have four children, three girls and one boy. I have.
And your grandchildren?
I have 10 grandchildren.
Wow.
And two great grand.
Uh huh.
And we meet every Friday in fellowship. We have been doing this for the last 14 or 15 years.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Until our son-in-law joined us. That's where we live.
Wonderful.
Now
tell me, as you mentioned that your daughter has identical twins.
Yes, she does.
So it actually skipped a generation.
We did quite a bit of research. It took us 7 years to write this book. We did a bit of research. And we found out that originally they said that identical twins, no, not fraternal twins, skip generation, is sex-linked and runs in the family. None of those are true.
Really?
No, none of those are true.
Did any of your parents have twins in their family? That's the first thing I wanted to ask.
Well, my mother had twins before us, but they were stillborn.
Uh-huh. Were
when
they
my father separated from her in the 40s, he went to live in Chicago, and he fathered another set of twins.
Wow. So it's his.
But again, coming back to the original question, all of that, as I'm saying, is all luck, just pure luck, with identical twins.
Hmm.
Now remember, identical twins can come in three different ways. They can come in one sack, they can come in two sacks, they can come in one sack and feed from two umbilical cords. In those days,
wow,
we did not have the technology to decide whether or not we were, you know, what kind of twins we were. Which wasn't necessary anyway. All we knew, in fact, my daughter tells me that her girls doesn't look alike.
Uh-huh.
And my rebuttal to that is that once you have two children at the same time and their teachers can't tell them apart, then they have to be identical. Does
yes,
that make sense?
But she's talking from a mother's point of view because she knows them apart.
She does.
She knows,
as I said in my book, my mother knew us from behind. She knew us from our crying.
Yes, yes.
My father wasn't like that. A man.
Yes.
A woman's intuition, you can't beat that. Can't
right.
Beat can't beat a woman's intuition.
Interesting. Now, do you, in growing up, did you find that you and your brother liked the same types of food?
More or less. More or less. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I would say yes.
What
you
would
see,
you say?
If you're born together, live together for most of your life, then it naturally means whether or not you're twins, you will begin to think together.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, being born together, we think alike. And I tell you, it's not a joke, but something, well, it's a joke anyway. We used to like to play dominoes like all Jamaican does. And a lot of times when we were playing, the opponents never like us to look at each other because they claim we were coding. Oh, you guys
you
are
might have
each
been
other's
doing
mind.
That.
But I hasten to remind them that that wasn't a part of our nature. If we
uh-huh.
should beat a competitor by cheating, then that wouldn't be right.
Right.
And you didn't beat him anyway. So that was not part of our forte.
Uh-huh. And that's, you know, I know there's always sibling rivalry in every family. Did you and your brother have any, you know, unusual disagreements or agreed on everything? I'm just curious.
Certainly. We have more disagreements than agreements.
Really?
Surely. But the only difference is that whilst we have our agreements and disagreements, we always come to a final conclusion and we never were mad at each other. He made his point, I made my point, we shook hands and that was it.
Wow.
Not like others who perhaps other kids who would have thought that having had a problem with their sibling, that it will go on forever.
Right.
We never did. And this is what I write about in the book as well, that we think that twins can teach other siblings on just the proper way of living. Why are you going to be mad at your brother? He's your brother, whether you're twins or not.
Right.
And we did ask some questions in the book. What would you do differently if your twin does not speak with you? We have heard of cases where twins doesn't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And we find it exceedingly strange, particularly
right.
identical twins. But again, it's a question of nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
We found also that if twins, identical twins, were reared apart, which is what happened some years ago, the moment they got back together, after a year, they begin to think alike and do the same thing alike. Naturally,
uh-huh.
they were born of the same genes.
Now, in
another
you and your brother,
they got together.
Who was born first? Who came out first?
Well, I was present at his birth. He wasn't at mine.
So you were first. Okay.
That's another way of putting it.
I got it. Now, while you were in Jamaica, did you meet any other identical twins?
In fact, yes. I coached identical twins at Jamaica College.
Hmm.
And they won championships. In fact, the 800 meters, they were first and second. And the weirdest thing that happened is that the one that used to be ahead of the other in training, he lost to the other who was behind. And it happened
uh-huh.
to Mel and myself as well.
Uh-huh.
But such is life and such is track or such is sports when you're in competition.
Right.
But yes, we have met and spoke with dozens of twins. Some get along, some don't. But on the main, most of them get along well with each other. My two granddaughters They are like two peas in a pod.
Wow. How old are they?
They have never been separated. They are now 11 years old.
Interesting.
And they have never been separated, not even for a day.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. When you were growing up, did you both dress alike?
Yes, until the shirt or the garment got a tear in it. Then I wouldn't wear it anymore.
And in terms of body size and shape, were you sort of similar in weight and height and, you know, muscle tone?
That's a good question. Mel was perhaps a quarter of an inch, half an inch taller than I was. But the problem always with twins is that if you see them together, then you may be able to make a comparison. But when you see them separately, it's difficult to make a comparison in the event, for example, as height.
Right.
If I am alone, it's impossible to say I am Mel because I'm taller. Or he's Mel because he's better looking, because he's not there.
Right.
So they have difficulty in separating us in that regard. If they were getting too smart with us, all we did was exchange names.
Ah.
If they call me Mel, I just say yes. If they call him Mel, he say yes. Yeah, we like to play tricks.
I know.
Sometimes
we
don't fool them. They fool themselves.
Right.
But
there was a picture on the internet that I downloaded, and
yes,
there is a flash playing for the people listening online, and I think that is your picture. So if anyone's watching online,
yes,
and see this, a beautiful muscular athlete,
yes,
flashing on the screen, that,
yes,
is, unfortunately, I did not see a picture of Mel.
That was Mel.
That was Mel? Oh,
that's,
I thought
you're looking
Mel
at there right now is Mel.
Is Mel. Okay.
Yes, I told him, but looking, that's not me.
But we know that Mal and Mel look alike. So you're looking, as you see it the second time, you're seeing the other half.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, let me give you an idea. When we used to run, the newspapermen naturally take pictures of us and running all various events. Sometimes they print pictures of us. And 90% of the times, they were wrong. They labeled them wrongly.
Did you try to correct them all, or it didn't matter?
No, they couldn't be bothered. What they did, they just got one picture and printed it twice. Which
that
made a little difference
hysterical
to me anyway.
Wow. So for all you know, it's not your brother's picture. It could be yours.
Sure.
And they just put your name on it.
Just put their name on it. They couldn't bother. I feel the same way about my grandchildren here. I can't
really
tell them apart, and I can't be bothered. It isn't worth the worry.
Oh, wow. Now, did you ever feel hurt if someone call you your brother's name, or it didn't matter?
No, it didn't matter at all. Because they make these mistakes time and time again.
Right, right.
They always confuse us, so we just accept the name they call us.
Right. Good.
Yeah, a guy come up to me, I'm Mel, and he'd say, hi, Mel. I said, hi, how are you doing? Why would I want to confuse the guy?
Right.
we like a quiet life.
Let's talk a little bit about your book. What prompted you to write? And if you may tell the audience the name of the book, and it's available on Amazon.
Yes.
But would you tell them the name, please?
Okay. The name of the book is The Lives and Times of Mal and Mel.
Okay.
Now, you can download it on Amazon and or on Kindle. Now, the reason why we wrote this book is because about 10 years ago, we were traveling together in Fort Lauderdale and met a very prominent family member in Jamaica, one of the Hashenheims, and he remembered us. And we got talking, and he said, look, you guys led, I'm sure, a very interesting life. why don't you write a book about yourself? Naturally, we had no inkling of writing, except for the stint that Mel had at The Gleaner, where he worked for them for about 10 years, mainly on the philosophical and sociological side of sports. So we got together and decided to write this book about mainly about our escapades as track and field athletes. But the more we talk about twins, is the more we think that we should bring in other subjects concerning not only the development of twins, but we wrote about drugs in sports. We give some advice to athletes who are now professionals, where they should begin to think about their retirement, even from now, because athletes in general never last up past 30.
Mm.
In other sports like swimming and or, let us say, gymnastics, some athletes have been at 10 years old, 12 years old.
Right.
So our advice to all young athletes, if they're listening, and I hope some of them are, and it's in the book, is that their managers, their coaches, their advisors should begin to think from today, right now, about the future of these youngsters.
Mm.
And how are they going to make it if they're not prepared? You see, in our time, we know what we had to do. There was nothing after track and field. You have to find a job and work. Today,
right.
Track and field has become an avocation, or a vocation, in fact. We add it as an avocation. Today it's a vocation. It's their well-being. It's their life. And they have to retire, some of them at 30. Some of them push it to 35 or 40. But they have to go at one time or another. And they must make preparation from now. Because once they stop running, then the money stops flowing in.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this picture taken by Mel here, taken with Mel, was taken in Puerto Rico when he was teaching at the Inter-American University in San Germán.
Mm.
So I recall it very well. It looks like me, but it's not me. A lot of people confuse that picture as well.
Yes.
It was taken in Puerto Rico.
Now, were you separated for any long periods of time during the time you were going up and performing as an athlete?
Yes, we did for a little while. What happened was that when he graduated from college, he got a fellowship to Columbia University, and then from Columbia University, they sent him to the Inter-American University in San Germán, Puerto Rico, to teach. Then he went back to Columbia to pursue a doctoral degree.
Uh-huh.
But what happened, he was enticed to return to Jamaica, where he had a... He couldn't refuse the offer he got in Jamaica. So he gave up the PhD and went on to work in Jamaica until years after when he left.
Oh, so where were you during that time when he was doing what he was doing?
During that time,
were you in
I was
Jamaica?
Living in the United States.
Oh,
and then
he
joined back again another 7 years later. But we always was a phone call apart. We'd communicate almost daily, if not by letter, by telephone. So we're in close touch. And then when we got writing this book, we met together every day for a year or two. Every day. Every single day.
Did you live in the same city?
I'm sorry?
Did you live in the same city while you were
meeting? Yes,
every
right
day?
Now we live in the same city. We're only about 20 minutes away. Yes, yes.
That is great.
Same city. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. Now, during the times that you lived apart, were there any incidents that was happening with him and happened with you at the same time?
Yes.
That you recall?
Yes. In fact, I'll give you the end of it before the beginning. We both came here for the same reason. I hate to mention it, but I have to. I came to the United States because I was held up 4 times and robbed. Sorry to say
In
that.
Jamaica?
Yes.
Okay.
And the same thing happened to him.
At different times, though.
At different times.
When
I left, the same thing happened to him. And then
wow.
he migrated to the United States.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that happened, and it happened just like that. But coming back to your original question, yes, sometimes we think differently, we behave differently, but we always arrive at a happy medium.
I see. I watched a program some time ago where twins were separated by adoption, I think. And when they eventually found each other, I don't remember if they were seeking or it was accidental, but when they compared notes, like one would have their appendicitis, their appendix out, and without knowing, the other one was having the surgery almost at the same time.
Sure. That's quite possible.
And I was so intrigued.
As I mentioned before, it's unusual, but it can happen. What happened with identical twins? Now, let us not get mixed up with identical twins and paternal twins.
Right.
Identical twins are the product of an egg and a sperm coming together. It splits at a particular time within the first 10 days of conception, where both people get the same complement of genes. Which means in every respect they're alike.
Right.
In other words, if identical twins were to do, let's say, a bone marrow transplant, or one were to take one organ from the other, it was not even necessary to do a blood test. Because their
the
organs will not reject each other's organs.
Mm.
And that's what makes twins a study in medicine.
Wow.
They can always exchange it. No trial. No question about whether or not their blood type is different. It's always the same. And
yes.
Makes it interesting. In fact, twins make the most interesting sociological and psychological study of all multiple births. And the reason I mentioned before that identical twins remain a fact of nature is that even with drugs today, the incidence of identical twins have not increased. We have multiple births, triplets, quadruplets, quintuplets. Some related the other day had 8 kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the incidence of identical twins remain the same.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes them a little bit different.
Yeah, it makes them unique.
Yes, makes them
rather
a little bit unique. Yes.
And that is why I want to take a minute now to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And although most of us are not thinking of going back to retire or living out the rest of our lives, there on our beautiful island, we still have wonderful memories of growing up there, and that's part of what we celebrate here in the backyard. So I hope that our listeners online and those have called in, if you're calling in for the first time, welcome, and we would really like to know that you enjoyed your comfortable chair and your virtual trip, and that you will come often and also share. So at this time, if you don't mind, Mal, I would like to ask any listener on the board that might want to interact with us and ask you some questions to do so. Is that
go
okay?
Right ahead.
All right. I see a raised hand with 914-665, and I'm going to open up the mic, and I see another hand being raised. So people are curious, and I'm excited. I'm just thrilled. So 914-665. Your mic is open, please. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Are you there? Apparently not. Well, the person might have hit the mic by mistake. So I'm going to open up the mic to 954-274.
Hello,
Margaret.
This is Carl.
Hi, Carl. Welcome.
Thank you. I've been listening to the program with great interest.
And
I'm very intrigued with the whole thing that's been going on. Yeah, I know these gentlemen from the, they were in high school. They went to technical school, and I went to KC, and I met them from those days. And I can tell that from very early I could recognize one from the other. Right, Mal?
I don't know.
Did they ever play?
Changed names a couple of times. I don't know. This
no,
is
Carlo
Davis. I know that.
I know they're different. I know they ran different. They have different running styles.
Sir Herbert didn't.
A different running style. But I remember an interesting incident. Mal will remember this. They were both going to technical school at the time, and they had their sports day at Caxton Park.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them competed during the day. At the last event of the day, one of them ran a very fantastic 400 meters. And the contest at the time was a little different one who ran the last race.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, Mal?
Yes, I remember that very clearly.
Wow.
What do you say about it?
But it was all fun, clean fun.
No, yes, because I'm all mixed up.
Clean, yes.
That they're all mixed up. I see 914665 is back on the board, and I'm going to open up the mic. Can he?
Okay.
Thank you for
Mal and Mal.
Thank you for
the program.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Okay. Welcome, 914665. Your mic is open.
Yes, good day. Hi, Mal.
Hi.
This is Carl McDonald.
Hi, Carl. How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, Carl.
Okay. I just wondered, you know, Mel and I went to the games, the Olympics in 68. In Mexico City.
Mexico City.
And my friend Norma, well, there are two Normas, right?
Yeah.
And so, but are you now located in New York, or where are you now? Both of you are in the same city?
Yes, both of us are in Fort Lauderdale in Florida.
Oh, Fort Lauderdale.
Within, after 20 minutes from each other.
I see. I guess at some point I would love to. We had a great relationship, by the way, Mel and myself. And when I was down there, we even met Jesse Owens. And at the time when I forget the name of that commentator from. Oh, Carl, was it Carl Lawrence?
Yes, Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence from Radio Jamaica. Was there with us, and he wasn't running at the time. We were just, I was actually photographing the game for a couple of publications. You know, Foggy Burrows was the first person who actually got me involved in covering the games, well, in Venezuela, the Panamanian games. And I would like to. So I guess off the air, get the telephone number to at least speak to Mel. It's great to hear you, and I was waiting for the title of the book, which I now have noted, which is The Lives and Times of Mal and Mel.
Yes.
It's a fascinating story, and you're revealing a lot more than I knew about Mel. although we had a lot in common, went out together, and the wives shared the same interests and so on. But that trip to Mexico was a turning point for me. We were planning to go to the Olympics in 72, that city where they had the dramatic
attack. That was in Munich.
Munich, yes, right, Munich, 72.
Mm-hmm.
We had plans to meet again there in 72, but things didn't turn out that way. I don't think he made it, but neither could I.
Yeah.
But I have been to a few of the other games, of course, Montreal and so on. But it's just a brief hi, hello, and continue good health. How is Mel doing?
Oh, he's not very well, and of course, in the book, I wrote the last chapter. which was concerning his illness. But I see him perhaps two or three times a week. I saw him yesterday before I left to come up to Palm Beach. So he's okay.
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Could I ask you where you're calling in from?
I'm calling from Mount Vernon in New York.
Wow.
Oh, you're calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Are you on our mailing list? You get our promos about the shows?
Well, not really, but I plan to after we spoke about Ken Jones the first time I heard I was online.
Oh, I see. Okay. So I
plan to be in touch because there are a couple of things that I would like to suggest in terms of programming.
Oh, great.
But I'm unfortunately not yet on the list, but I am still in touch through Nellie.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, she's the one who gave me a nudge and said, come on, get online.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So,
well, welcome to the backyard.
Thank you.
I hope you've made yourself comfortable.
Yes.
And that you will come often and stay long.
I will. In the meantime, I'll just leave the time and space for someone else.
Sure.
And I'm delighted for the opportunity to speak to Mal. And
yes.
Just in case we don't connect, Mal, would you please give him my phone regards?
I will. I definitely will. I will give him when we're off the air.
Yes.
I'll give him. Certainly. Yes. And if anyone...
Thank you, sir. I certainly am. Thank you for your comments.
Yes.
And I will pass on this to Mel.
Yes,
I'll see him perhaps tomorrow.
Yes, and I'm sure at some point. As a matter of fact, by the way, I photographed his wedding.
Wow.
You did?
Yes.
That's a few years ago.
Yes, quite a few.
I'd say 47 years ago.
Yes, very easily. Well, you know, many times I wind up at some lectures in photography, and I'm able to say that I've been in this business for more than half a century.
Wow,
and,
that's
and,
so long.
Of course, sometimes in certain groups, I don't mention anything that reflects or exposes my age. But you can't avoid it sometimes.
Well,
but with pride, you know, I really enjoyed the opportunity to travel covering the news, The Clean and The Star and Spotlight and all of these magazines in Jamaica and, of course, in Canada. But we'll connect again. Just say hi for me.
I'll get your number. And if you need one of the copies, I'll have it sent to you when we connect.
Yes. I'd be delighted. So God be with you.
Thank you. And the same to you.
And take care.
Take care.
And thank you for participating, Carl. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay.
So take care.
And I'd like to also open up, like, if anyone else would like to interact with us and or ask a question of Mal, please do so now by hitting 1 on your telephone. That will give me an indication on my little computer that you've put your hands up like you were in school. You know, when we get in the backyard, we don't know where we're going to go. We might even be back. First of all, we're always back in Jamaica, but we might even be back in the days of our youth when we're just in school. We have to put up our hands so the teacher can call on us. So do put your hands up so I can call on you. If you want to say hi or make a suggestion or participate in the labyrinth. Remember now, this is a labyrinth. So we can't, it's a labyrinth encompass a lot of people sort of. Of the same minds talking about something. So this evening, for those who might come by later on, I'd like to tell you that we are, for the first time, the Labyrinth is entertaining a special guest, an Olympian, who is Mr. Mal Spence. He's here with us this evening talking about his book and also his early life in Jamaica. And his athletic career. So we're here each Wednesday on Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So back to you, my honored guest.
Yes.
His that interesting? Here we have a caller in who apparently you don't know very well, but your brother knows very well.
Yes, it happens.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So is there anything else you wanted to share with us?
Not necessarily. I like to answer questions. But,
okay, I'd like to open up the mic now for questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyone would like to ask, if you're listening online, I'm sorry I'm not able to interact with you because I'm not able to do two things at once. I'm hoping to get to that stage, hopefully quite soon, but you'd have to call in, dial in on your telephone, 718-766-4558. So you can call in and hit one on your telephone, then I know that you want to ask the question. But I'm just curious, does your twin granddaughters have questions about you and your brother growing up as twins? Are they at that stage yet where they're curious?
Oh, yes. They ask us a lot of questions every day. Who was brighter than the other?
Wow.
Who was more outspoken? Because, you know, even though they're identical twins, both of them, one is outspoken and one is not. Same thing with Mel and myself. I was a little bit more outspoken than he was. That is not to say that he won't make a lot of noise either, anyway.
Right,
but I was just a little bit more outspoken than he was.
Yes.
And again, I mentioned the question about nurture and nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned also that it is quite possible that twins can live apart for several years. But the moment they get back together, their genes seem to mesh and they get back right to where they had ended their relationship. So it's interesting. We find it exceedingly interesting, and we have, over the years, have a lot of fun.
Aww.
I'll tell you something interesting, if you have sufficient time.
Sure.
I was in the process of doing some work, and I got a telephone call from a young lady. And the young lady said, she told me her name, and I remembered who she was. I met her 50 years ago. And she said, you wrote something in your book, and the book and the portion in the book sounded like it was me.
Uh-huh.
We didn't mention any names. And I told her, yes, that was you.
Oh.
No. I thought she was going to really, you know, in Jamaican parlance, give me a hard time.
Uh-huh.
Instead, she said, why don't you put your signature on three of the books and the money is in the mail for you.
Isn't that something?
In fact, she called me later, well, she sent me an email later to say that she would be delighted if I had actually mentioned her name.
Wow!
And I thought it was really interesting.
Yes. Well, I suppose, you know, she's honored to have you remember her, number one. And whatever the incident was that was discussed in the book, apparently it made an impression on her, too.
Yeah,
so,
it was a strange thing. Actually, what happened is that we were at her parents' house, and when she left, we exchanged places.
Mm-hmm.
And when
you and
she
your
came
brother.
Back, she was thinking she was talking to the same person.
Ah.
that's the kind of trick we used to work.
All right. And I suppose for a woman, that would be quite something.
Yeah, but when something happens unexpectedly, it's difficult. She never expected that, so it was difficult. And we used to dress together, too. But that was a part of having fun.
Now, I know that you were very athletic, but were you sort of, either of you sort of comical and funny? also, or, you know, were you more or less, you know, how some young people are sort of quite serious and others are just always cracking up or silly?
Oh no, we're all fun. Even while we were on the track and the team was serious, we would put them at ease by giving them jokes. There's nothing to be really serious about. In fact, in those days, we weren't competing for money. We were competing for the love of our country, and naturally, you know, that's how it went. But we had a great time. No, if I could live my life over again, I would do the same thing. No question about it.
Now, on your first trip, the first time you left Jamaica, do you remember what year that was?
Well, okay. Jamaica before I did, and gosh, was I mad. He went to the Pan American Games in Mexico City, and they left me off the team.
Ah.
Don't know why, and I'm still wondering why. Anyway, I made a decision that no team is going to leave Jamaica again without me. Incidentally, about 6 months later, they had a track meet in Trinidad, while Mel, in fact, was in Mexico. But the funniest thing that happened, while he was in Mexico and I was in Trinidad, we ran the same events, and we nearly had identical times. He ran 47.4 and I ran 47.3, identical times.
Wow.
Thinking alike, running alike.
Very interesting.
But yes, he left Jamaica before me, and we vowed. And it came true. We were an average Jamaican team, a half of the 4x400 meters relay team for 3 Olympic Games.
Isn't that so? Now, tell me about the bronze medal.
It was in the 4x400 meters relay.
Uh-huh.
And that was really the you know... Winning a medal sometimes, and we have it in our book, is great. And one of the greatest things you could do is win a gold medal or win any medal at all at any Olympic Games. But to me, what was more fascinating was in traveling to different countries, meeting different people, meeting some of the great, great athletes and talking with them, and the camaraderie that you encountered while you were at these meets. I think that when one goes to the Olympic Games, it's a different experience, an experience one will never, never, particularly if you're an athlete, you'll never forget. Mm. I never forget my first Olympic Games. I never forget my last Olympic Games. There were great moments in my life, great moments. Never forget.
Right. What would you say is the most outstanding thing that you remember from your first Olympic Games?
Well, I met, in my first Olympic Games, I met perhaps one of the greatest runners of all times, a gentleman by the name of Emil Zatopek.
I remember I was in Jamaica, very excited during that year of the Olympics.
I met him, spoke with him, and I thought it was this great guy, but he was just like me. In fact, he was a very simple man, very simple man. But simple in perhaps looks or maybe thoughts, but certainly not in competition. Because he achieved something that perhaps will never be achieved again.
Mm.
Because he won the 3 longest games in the Olympics, which is the 5,000 meters, the 10,000 meters, and the marathon.
Wow.
And that feat, I believe, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't think it will ever be achieved again. And I had the opportunity of meeting a gentleman.
Is there a lot written about him or that particular...
Oh, yes. There are films. He passed away about 10 years ago. But there are films on him, sure.
Good. Now,
he was a national hero in Czechoslovakia.
Yes.
He's a national hero there. Oh, sure.
Yes. Do you remember you and your brother being called the traveling men?
Not really, but we're called other names.
Well, I read something from your college yearbook.
Yes, Oh, you did
go
into all of that.
There's quite a bit written about you and your brother
yes.
from that university.
Yes. Well, one of the best things that I think happened, again, not anything to do with track and field athletics, is when the president of our university wrote to the Prime Minister of Jamaica thanking him for having us come to school to the United States.
Wow.
And the Jamaican government had a special function where they invited the concert general at that time at the World Theater and made a presentation. And that also, a copy of the letter from Mr. Manley, who is now one of our national heroes, and also a picture with the Honorable Sir Alexander Bustamante, who is again one of our national heroes. I think very few people now, living now, have pictures taken of both our national heroes. And I'm proud of that.
Right.
Track and field is one end, but there's more to it than that. There's more to track and field and running and winning.
Yes.
And a nice article is also in the book concerning visiting the Olympic Games.
Yes,
because
yes.
if you recall or look back, when the Olympics, well, the ancient Olympic Games, now the Olympic Games have started recently, the ancient Olympic Games, after the games, everyone met and eat and drink and had fun. The reason for that is simple. Today, the heroes are one side and the guys who lose are on the other side.
Yeah.
In the Olympic Games in those years, it never happened like that. The winners,
right.
and you would never know the winners from the losers. And it's simple, because if you don't have winners, you can't have losers. And
right.
if you have losers, you can't have all losers either. You must have a winner. It
yes.
just happened that on that particular day, one guy or two guys or three guys, whoever medaled, was better than the other.
Yes.
But this
yes.
is what I'd love to see continue, the spirit of the games continuing.
Right.
Where people would, first of all, think about representing their country, doing well for their country, but after that, it should be a great camaraderie.
Mm.
No fight, no fuss, no bother.
Right. I want to ask you a little bit before we get off the air about your college experience. Do you find that it was different because you were such great athletes and got a scholarship there? Or just tell me a little bit about your experience at ASU.
Okay. The first experience was that the coach could not tell us apart.
Mm-hmm.
However, what made his job easy was that we ran the same events.
Ah.
Until we decided to switch events.
Mm-hmm.
Because he switched events because if we were running in competition against our adversary, the University of Arizona, then if we ran the same events, we would be either first or second, or vice versa. But if we ran two separate events, then we could get two first places. At that time, he was totally confused. He didn't know who was the half miler, different from the quarter miler. But we generally give the guy a lot of help. We're sorry for him.
Wow.
We're really sorry for him. So.
What year did you start at the university?
We went to Arizona State in 1956 and graduated in 1961.
Isn't that something? And did you find any difficulty in terms of because you were coming from Jamaica or because of who you are?
Our welcome was perhaps the best welcome we had ever received any place.
Isn't
the welcome
that something?
Was with open arms. Not only because of what we would add to the track and field team, but naturally because we were twins and this was the first time this was happening. So they welcomed us with open arms.
Great.
We had a lot of fun. The newspaper men were all over us. And, we had a great time, no question about it. Even
right.
The faculty itself, they used to come to the track meets, some of my own professors. would come to a track meet and talk with us. In fact, I spoke with one of my professors about a month ago.
Interesting.
And, he must have passed through thousands of students. And I asked him if he remembered who I was.
Yes.
He says, Malcolm and Mel Spence, how could I forget you? In fact, I'll tell you better than that. You took a course from me in economic botany.
Isn't that
I'm saying, this guy, I must have made an impression on this guy.
Yes,
so we spoke for quite some time, and we ended up on a very good note. And he said, in fact, that of all the students, only perhaps about a half a dozen had called him back to tell him thanks for what he did for us.
Wow.
And I think that was good. So apart from sports, we try to spread ourselves around as best as we can in terms of helping other athletes, coaching on one side, giving talks at various functions and things of that nature.
Right. May I ask you, now, at that time when you came, were there a lot of other students of color?
Not very many. Only in sports.
Ah.
Only in sports. Because remember, it's not the Deep South, but that was in Arizona. People, not a lot of, no. But as I wrote in the book, we, perhaps because of who we were, we never ran into a problem. Never ran into a problem.
Right.
In fact,
well, that's good to know.
Ten years later, when we left college, we went back there and saw our pictures posted in a restaurant in Tempe, Arizona.
Right.
20 years after we left.
Right. Because I tell people that I came up here in 1959, and I really never had any problems.
Yes.
So, and judging from your picture, you know Jamaicans come in all shades and colors, but I thought I look more like you.
If you
and
look
I
like
really
a sense,
never,
you look like
I, I'm not saying the problems didn't exist, but, you know, I never really had any personal problems. I didn't.
I
was just curious to know what it was like. But then I was in New York, you know.
New York is different.
Like in those years, in a place like Arizona.
Yes, we never had a problem there. But my father at one time was living in Chicago, and we normally visit him during summer holidays or during the winter. And along, we generally drive a motor vehicle, naturally. And we generally drive through some of the southern states. And we encountered one or two problems, which we mentioned in the book.
Right.
But nothing to worry about. People will always remain people. Prejudices will never go away. They just prejudice, color prejudice, class prejudice, shade prejudice, denomination. They'll never go away. They'll always be there. All we need, and I think the world need, is for us to be just a little more tolerant with each other, regardless of what we are in life.
Amen. And it goes both ways. And now we just have a couple more minutes. If anyone would like to chime in here, as I say, please do so now by hitting 1 on your telephone. But it really has been a pleasure, Mel. I am really intrigued. I'm honored. I am just smiling from ear to ear. I have for the first time, I am having an Olympian and a gold, not a gold, but a medalist, a bronze. Do you still have, where do you keep your medal?
Oh, I keep that at home.
Ah.
But one of the things I treasured a lot is when the Olympics was being held in Atlanta, I had the pleasure of carrying the torch.
Yes, I read about. I think I don't know if you are your brother carrying the torch in Fort Lauderdale too.
Yes, I still have the torch, which I treasure.
Interesting.
And the reason I treasure it is because winning a medal at the games is great, but when people remember you 40 years after you quit running or quit competition, I think that's something that I treasure.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. After 40 or 50 years, people still remember you. That's good.
Oh,
for me.
That's wonderful.
In fact, I spoke with a young lady, and she was in her maybe 20s, 30s. And she saw the book and she said, I know these people. I said, no, Katie, you would not know me because she said, yes, I've heard my mother and father spoke about you.
Ah.
And to me, that is, a real satisfaction.
Is this someone of a Jamaican heritage?
Yes, uh-huh. But the daughter was born and lived in the United States. But she heard her mother talking. And she said, yes, I know them. Well, know the name anyway.
Wonderful.
What's interesting, a lot of people ask me, what is my right name?
Uh-huh.
Why Mel and Mal? His name is actually Melville, and my name is actually Malcolm.
Oh, interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
But while we were growing up, a newspaper columnist by the name of Buzz Freckleton,
know that name,
gave us this moniker, and it stuck with us. Some people, I'd say 90% of the people who we spoke with or who we talk with today doesn't know our proper name. Incidentally, we have the same initials.
Uh-huh.
We have the same initials.
Uh-huh.
M-E-A Spence. That's quite correct.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to take this opportunity, and I'm sure along with other people on the board, to really send our best wishes out to your brother.
Yes, thank you.
And hope that his health will improve and, he will be able to enjoy the rest of his life. And we want to thank you so much for sharing all these details with us. And will you tell the listeners again where the name of the book and where it can be had?
The book is called The Lives and Times of Mal and Mel. You may get the book online at Amazon, Kindle, or you may get the book at Barnes & Noble if you order it from them. Incidentally, if you want to do a better favor, because what you get from the book selling it elsewhere is not very much the royalty, I will be delighted to have a copy signed and mailed to anyone who would wish one, including you.
Yes. Well, if anyone would like to get in touch with the author, please let us know at Backyard Labrish. You can go to www.backyardlabrish.com and just send us a note telling us that you'd like to order a copy of the book, and we'll be glad to forward it on to Mal. So with that said, I'm going to open up the mic here. I think Carl is still have his hand up. Carl, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm still here. I'm so delighted that I was in the meeting.
Okay. Well, we're going to be signing off in a couple of minutes.
Much I like Labrish. And I constantly think of good people to come on. This one's brilliant. A very brilliant performance by Mal. I'm so proud of him.
Yes. Well,
thank you so much, Mal. Yes,
I
will certainly pass along all this information to my friends, and hopefully something will become of your program. I think it's a great program. No question
about
it.
Well, thank you so much.
You will certainly hear from me.
And please share it with your friends and ask them to get on our mailing list, because I only send out information about the upcoming show.
Sure. Thank you very much
again. So with that said, I'm going to bid everyone a very good night. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your continued support. And do let me know if you have ideas of what we can lavish about. Just remember that we're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So,
Very, very much for having me on your show. I certainly enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that you will continue to have good shows, and I myself will continue to listen to it. Thank you so much.
Goodbye. And who knows? We might be able to have you back again.
Never can tell.
Have a great
week. There's plenty of information to be had.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And as I always end my shows, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. And make it a great week. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Hi.